Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer. Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is a program that is really focused on your needs as a legal nurse consultant in working with attorneys. And I have with me David Perdue, who I have known for probably 5 or 6 years. I first met David at a conference when his company was called Niche Affiliate Marketing and now has been renamed to the Novice to Advanced Marketing System. David is the CEO and chief architect at that organization and uses his skills as a journalist, a consultant, and an entrepreneur to help build one of the most successful and fastest growing business training workshops available today. The website for his company is nextnams.com, and it has a whole series of educational offerings, blogs, tools that are useful for anyone who's interested in marketing. The system that David has put together with his team is the Novice to Advanced Marketing System. It's a step-by-step tutorial system focused on teams and training tools to help novice to advanced business people become even more successful. And I have learned a great deal from being involved in NAMS over the years in terms of the marketing concepts that I have applied to my legal nurse consulting business and continue to apply to my coaching business at lncacademy.com, working with legal nurse consultants. David came into the internet marketing world from the newspaper business, and we know that there are still some newspapers that exist, although there were far more 17 years ago when he was involved as a journalist, an editor, and publisher, and stayed in that industry. He also is a photographer and created a successful stock photography agency, which he sold. David also had the experience of a do-it-yourself creation of a 2,200 square foot log cabin in North Alabama. And I have to take my hat off to you, David, because my husband is a person who cannot drive a nail into a wall and would hire somebody to do that. So putting together a log cabin is an amazing feat. And he currently lives on 95 acres of forest with streams and a 60-foot waterfall. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Pat. I'm glad to be here. That's quite an introduction.
Well, it is. You've done so many interesting things. Tell us how you made that transition from being a journalist to getting into marketing.
Yeah, the transition is always interesting because, you know, you wouldn't think that moving from newspaper business into, and I had a stint as a consultant in there as well in the telecom world, between the newspaper business and the online world, but you wouldn't think a stint from newspaper business to online marketing makes a lot of sense. But the truth is it makes a ton of sense because most of what we do in online business is to create stories and to do a lot of research. And I know that your folks do a lot of research as well as legal nurses, and I know that they need to create more stories as well.
Yes, they certainly do. And every case that has medical issues involved in it has a story. A lot of legal nurse consultants work on personal injury and medical malpractice cases, but there are stories in every type of litigation. The defective product that is used by an uninformed consumer is a story. The factory that pumps toxic chemicals into the air for 25 years and ends up living, a person ends up living in a neighborhood where there's a very high rate of lung cancer. There's a story there. The CEO who knows that a drug is potentially defective, but there's so much money invested in pumping a new drug out onto the market that there's a powerful incentive to hide those results. There are stories in many different areas.
Well, yeah, everything's a story, Pat. Everything can be a story, and that's one of the things that we teach people. And it comes directly from my background, and it's not, it really goes back beyond before my journalism training. It goes back to my grandfather's general store in Kentucky. They lived in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, kind of in the middle Appalachian poverty project areas down there. But he had a country store with a potbelly stove, and he made most of his money because he would tell stories around that stove, and people would come in, and as they listened to stories, people would buy things. And he also would trade guns and knives, which they did a lot to make money then. But mostly, he was telling stories to keep people occupied and engaged until they decided they would need something, and they did. Now, when I was in the newspaper business, we created stories to inform people as much as possible. So I learned the structure of good storytelling. And then when I came into the online business world, the thing that I focused on there was persuasive storytelling. So there's a little bit of difference, but you still have good storytelling that has to be involved in that as well. But the difference is you just lead them to your point of view, which is really important.
We've had Brian Basilico on the show, who I know that you know, and he talked about the know, like, and trust factors. And I'm thinking that your grandfather, although he probably never would have put it in those terms, was helping his client base get to know him, to learn to like him, to trust him, and then buy from him.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That know, like, and trust factor is it's kind of the central point of every online interaction and every in-person interaction. It's the basis of creating relationships that pay you for a long time. And it could be, you know, the kind of payment maybe, you know, every preacher who stands in front of his church and on Sunday mornings is building a know, like, and trust with that congregation. One of the reasons he has the Sunday night dinner or the Saturday afternoon events or whatever it is to create that know, like, and trust. And, you know, he's not necessarily getting money out of that, but he's getting paid. We all get paid in different ways, right? So the key to that know, like, and trust thing is to be able to walk people through a process where they absolutely relate to you. And they relate to you because you empathize with them, and that's kind of the trick in storytelling. That is persuasive storytelling, is that you have to get people to understand that you know what their situation is, you know where they are and what they've been through, so you're always talking about them in some way, and then you turn it around to be about the solution that you're providing in a persuasive situation. I think it's really probably really appropriate for people who are doing legal work as well, because you're converting them to a point of view.
Yes, and that's what attorneys need to do when they are speaking to mediators to try to settle a case, or speaking to a jury in a trial, is to tell the story and also to help the jury know and like the plaintiff. Because one of the things that can really go wrong in a trial is when the jury develops a strong antipathy towards one of the characters. Sometimes that's the plaintiff. Sometimes it's one of the attorneys who is behaving in a way that ticks off the jury. And that is like throwing a stick of dynamite into a pond and watching what happens with the way that people react, and perhaps in unpredictable ways. So yes, that can be a real important factor in connecting with the jury.
It's also an important factor in connecting with prospective employers, you know, and I'm saying that I assume that legal nurses probably are always out there looking for the next gig, let's say. And I would think that being able to communicate that know, like, trust through your stories or even any kind of content about yourself has to be less than boring, right? I mean, you have to stand out from the crowd. People have to relate to you and what you've been through. So there are ways to do that using different forms of content, right? Blogs, reports, videos. And I would guess that most of your audience doesn't do a lot of that. Would that be correct?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Well, if they're marketing or competing, it's a way for them to set themselves apart. And everybody is in a competitive market. If you're trying to sell yourself online or in the real world, you're in a competitive market. So you need every advantage to set yourself apart. And becoming the authority or the expert using your own content, your own stories, is probably the first thing that needs to happen.
Could you tell us about the term content marketing and what that means and why it's important?
Sure. So it goes back to the authority thing first, because content marketing is the first step toward branding yourself as an expert. And I know that the field that you're in, you're all experts. That's kind of a given. But you have to set yourself apart as the expert that people want to come to. So, for example, in my world, I have to set myself apart as the expert in online business, in business strategy, those kind of things. When I was in the newspaper business, I was the expert in doing special projects. That was my kind of focused area, was we were able to build special sections, you know, where you focus on a specific investigative topic. And then when I got into the consulting world, my expertise was standing in front of a room with a whiteboard, and I had to convince people that I could listen to them and come up with a solution jointly that became and try to make it appear that it was their solution. So I let them tell me what the problems were, then I probed for the solution, and then I put the solution on the whiteboards in front of them, and they said, oh yeah, that's it. I had a great idea. So it became their idea. Now, my whiteboard was my content tableau, basically. I was able to use a marker pen and describe to them a story to portray their solution on a whiteboard so they saw it. Then we went off and built all kinds of reports and studies and all that stuff to back it up. But it was that initial interaction that made people feel like I was the person that they needed to talk to and that I was the expert in the room. And so when I was asking probing questions, they were giving me real answers. And the key was to always talk about their situation and their problems so that we could get to a solution. When you're doing content marketing, you're doing kind of the same thing. You want to make sure that you know what the problems are of your marketplace, and then you write or you do videos or you do audio about those problems, and you empathize with the problems, and then you offer the solution. And the solution is either you or a product that you have. But it's couched in such a way as, here's the solution, and where are you going to get that solution? Oh, by the way, I have that solution. So content marketing is a way for us to write video, blog, do audios, build special reports that always point to us as the expert without being braggadocious about it, without being off-putting about it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think it's a far more effective way, if I'm understanding what you're saying, than a website that says, hire me, this is what I can do, hire me, hire me, hire me.
Yep, exactly. And so there's only one thing that's better than that, and that is somebody else telling other people your story. So if you're telling me your story about what you've done for somebody else, it's really good if you can get that somebody else to actually tell the story about what you did for them. And so it becomes a lot more authentic, has a lot more authority than if it just comes from you, right?
It does. I sense that you're talking about testimonials. Could you give us a little frame of reference for that?
Sure. I am kind of talking about testimonials, but I don't know what you call them in your world. Some people call them case studies. Some people call them testimonials. Some people call them, referrals. But they can be woven into a story that you're telling. So, for example, if you've got an attorney who is looking for a specific expert, and I'm trying to think of some of the legal stuff that I've gone through that may be appropriate. Okay, so when I was in the newspaper business, I never got sued for libel, but I was always concerned about libel, right? And I always thought what we need to do is make sure that we are protected, we do everything we can on our end, but if a suit happens, what happens? How do I find the right person to represent us? And often I want to make sure I find the right person to take a look at the material before we publish it so that we're in good shape. So what my point about this is that we would want to make sure that as I'm telling the stories about libel and about the concerns for libel, I could talk about how I made sure that we didn't do the things that would cause us issues in life, cause us to be libelous. But it would be even better if I got an attorney to say, look at David Perdue and the way he does his magazine, because they've never had an issue because they do all the right things first. And if they do all the right things first, here's what those things are. And so that becomes an expert kind of, I'm borrowing his expertise. The expertise is kind of rubbing off on me because he's a higher authority. First off, he's an attorney. Second off, he's somebody else that's edifying me. And so that's the way we want other referrals, and if you want to call them testimonials to come as part of a story that edifies you.
And I think as soon as an attorney says to another attorney, you ought to use this particular legal nurse consultant, I've had great results with her, that automatically makes it easier for that legal nurse consultant to follow through with that referral and get the work, because that little barrier of, I don't know you and I'm not sure if I want to trust my case to you, that disappears on the basis of getting a referral.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you know, you want to make sure that if somebody is giving you a referral, you hope that they're telling a story about you, and you can coach them on telling a story about you if you need to do that. Because if somebody says, you know, I love working with Pat because Pat is so sweet, that's it, that's all they're going to say, that's not a very powerful testimonial or a very powerful referral. But if they say, I love working with Pat because when we were involved in this case, she looked at it from this perspective, everybody else missed that, and it was really being able to see the whole picture that helped us go back and win. And so, you know, you get much more detail and much more of a picture, so the person has to paint the picture of what the result was and what the success is.
You know, it's funny you use those words, because I went in to meet an attorney for the first time in his office to deliver a prize that he won at a drawing. And he said, while you're here, Pat, could you look at this case for me? And it involved a neonate who received a overdose of potassium chloride. And it was given directly into the neonate's IV port of his catheter. He was, I think, about 7 months old. And I looked at the attorney and I said, nurses are not allowed to give IV push potassium chloride to patients. It has to be diluted in an IV bag. And he said, well, how do you know that? And I said, because I was a staff development instructor and I taught nurses which drugs they could give IV and which ones they had to dilute. And he said all the other doctors who looked at this case missed that point. I said, well, that's why you need me. And that began a 20-year relationship just on the basis of that first aha that he got in talking to me. And it turned out that, no, the nurses were not allowed to give IV push potassium chloride. And that was a factor in the case that the doctors didn't see because they weren't thinking along those lines, and that wasn't their experience.
So there's a couple of things there that you've just described. You have like multiple layers of story there, because when you set up the story when you told this about walking into the office for a completely different reason, right? So there's kind of a hook to that where, okay, you've got my attention, you're going in to talk to an attorney, but it's really not about getting work. So now I'm interested in knowing how that's going to work out, right? So you've set up a little curiosity there. That's an excellent way to start a story. The second thing is that you start talking about the attorney asking you questions about the situation itself. And then you told another story that was kind of embedded in the larger story about how nurses can't do this because it's your experience and because you taught this and because it has to be diluted and all of that. And that got his attention, which kind of comes back to the larger story, which was that he was impressed enough to want to work with you. Now, we kind of knew that that's where that was headed, right? Because it was as you were telling that, you kind of felt like there was going to be a payoff in the end. But what we didn't know, and this was kind of the punchline of the story, is that there's a 20-year relationship that resulted from that one incident. Now, that's a big payoff, right? That's a big payoff. And people who hear that story understand now that they can go back into any situation like that, and they can go in and not sell themselves so much, but to answer a question, to be of service, whatever it is. That's kind of the kicker there. And that's what we call a tie back in our structure. You go from the end back to the beginning, and you wrap the entire story up that way. Does that make sense?
It does. Tell
and
us
it was
about
a nice story.
Well, thank you. Tell us about the steps that you should follow when you structure storytelling.
Sure. So I use a template that we have that's a 7-step process. And the first is the hook that I told you about. It's kind of the attention getter. It's why am I listening to you now? Why should I listen to you now? And yours in that situation was kind of a curiosity approach. Sometimes it can be an amazing or a shocking or a scared or an identifying moment where people identify with you because of what of the sentences that you tell or you use in the beginning of the story. But the beginning of the story has to be the piece that gets the attention. Sometimes it can be just a headline or a subhead or the first couple of sentences of a paragraph, but it has to be very fast. Otherwise, people will click away, and this is in the online world. The second part, then, is once you've got their attention, then you need to give them kind of the setup. It's what's the context. This is the second step. What's the context of the story? So you did that by talking about why you were there. You were there to deliver a prize. And then the next step in the process is what we call the parachute. You jump right into the action. You drop into the action, whatever it is. And the action here shifted for you when he said, hey, Pat, would you take a look at this case? So you're into the action then about that entire process. Now, then the next thing is what we call the theme, which is what is this story all about? And so the story then became all about the issue of the, did you say it was potassium chloride?
I did.
Yeah, the overdose of the potassium chloride. So that's kind of the theme of the whole thing, which brings you back to the next part, which we call the transition. And the transition is usually in a situation where it's a selling situation or a persuasive situation, the transition comes back to kind of a cliffhanger or kind of a hopeful situation. Is there any hope at this point? And so what you've done in your transition is you went against the grain. You as the educating nurse went against all of the doctors in this case who missed this point, and you pointed out that it was incorrect. And so that was the transition. That's step number five. Step number six then is, what's the solution? What's the sell? So the sell is where we provide the solution to the problem that was displayed earlier. And your problem was about the potassium chloride overdose. And the sell, you didn't have to say anything, because he sold it for you. He said, you're the only one who caught this. Everybody else missed this. And then the natural response to that was, that's why you should use me, right? So it was an easy sell at that point. Now, that seventh step that we talked about was the tie back. So it's after the sell. The sell is or it's really the persuasive point, is getting them to take action. And then the tie back is kind of a reinforcement, because you go all the way back to the beginning, and in the beginning you say, you said, here's what it was, the situation was, and in the tie back you said, because you walked in with that situation, you ended up having a 20-year relationship for this whole thing. So it just one step plays on the other step until you have a nice wrapped up package. Now, you told this story via voice, and you followed this process almost exactly, and you may not even known it that you were doing this, but I also know you've been through the storytelling course. So the other thing, though, for this is that it works incredibly well in the written word. So if you do blog posts, you can always do a blog post using these seven steps, or a video using these seven steps. So that's what we try to teach people in our system.
And could you pull together for us, this is the last question I'll be asking you, any tips or tricks or secrets for being effective in content marketing?
Sure. Ask a lot of questions. That's the first thing, because you want to find out what people want to know about. One of the things that never works is trying to convince people. It's message market match is what it is. Message market match. If I'm talking to an audience of firefighters about the legal nurse business, that's not going to go anywhere, right? Unless firefighters have a direct connection somehow to an incident. But if I were talking to firefighters about the latest equipment that they needed, they're listening. That is a message market match. They're very interested in what they're interested in. So you have to ask questions about what they want to know. What's the feedback that you're getting from people? So I assume that you have a lot of publications, and I would say, you know, nursing publications or legal publications or whatever, association publications that address major issues. And the best way to make yourself an expert is to go figure out what those major issues are and become an expert in those. Do the research, become an expert in those, so that you can talk about that and you can write about that, and you can even do podcasts or videos or whatever about that, those issues. And then the second part to that whole thing for me is that, and I'm not sure this is a trick or a tip or whatever it is, but it is really about empathy. Whenever you're talking to anybody, it's never about you. It's always about them. And it's so hard not to talk about us. But we always want to make sure that we're addressing their issues. And what I like to do is tell people those are case studies. You're talking about other people and the issues that they went through. And by the way, this is really good if you're a new person and you're trying to get established with content marketing, or even established in your business, is you can talk about other people and their solutions and how those things worked. By just talking about those other people, you actually show that you know what works, even if you haven't done it in the past. And you show the kind of empathy and the compassion that you have for that business and those people. So that, to me, is the most important thing, is having some empathy for your audience.
And certainly that ties back to what we discussed earlier in terms of they need to know you, they need to like you, and they need to be able to trust you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the key to everything.
Tell our listeners how they can learn more about what you've been talking about so far today.
Well, if they would like to get a copy of the templates that we have for the storytelling piece, and then I think we have an infographic that we incorporated in that kind of explains it really well. I think they can get that from you at nams.ws. That's nams, N-A-M-S, dot W-S, sounds like workshop, dot W-S, not dot com, nams.ws, /LNC. And they can pick up those templates for free and just see if the storytelling piece is something they want to incorporate into their world. We have a lot of material there. It's a good way for us to get to know us, and for you to go through the know-like process with us. We have a lot of training that we do on our site, but you should start with something simple like this and learn more about how to market your business online. We can do that.
And that link again was nams.ws/LNC. David,
Right.
Thank you so much for being a part of this and sharing your expertise with our audience. I'm sure they're getting nuggets out of what you said, and I can see some people in my mind's eye saying, ah, yes, that makes sense. I need to think about cases I've worked on or cases that I've read about and turn that into a story.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.